Hey, it's Massimiliano here, and I'm excited to let you know that a new season of Scarafoni in Cucina, the Ugly Ducklings of Italian Cuisine, will be launching in February. I'll be joined by chefs and foodies to discuss more beloved and ugly Italian foods. Until then, please enjoy this holiday special about the Carbone della Befana. We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where this podcast episode was produced. SBS Italian pays our respects to the Cammeraygal people of the Gurungay Nation and their elders, past and present. We also acknowledge the traditional owners from all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands you're listening from today. Italian cuisine is one of Australia's favourites, and there's no doubt Italian cuisine is a celebrity in the world of food. But there are many dishes, weird and wonderful specialities, that don't make it beyond the Italian border. My name is Massimiliano Gugore, and in this SBS Italian podcast series, I'll tell you the story of ugly dishes that tell us something new about Italian cuisine and the love that Italians have for food. Let's take a closer look at these ugly ducklings of the Italian cuisine. Have you ever eaten what looks like a black nugget of charcoal? Italian children are equally delighted and terrified by this carbone dolce.
Mold? Kind of looks like a cake.
No, it looks like a rock.
Yeah, I'd try that.
Yeah. If it has sugar in it, then hopefully it's nice and sweet.
Befana comes at night. Not just any night, but always the one between the 5th and the 6th of January. In many Italian homes, little ones are waiting for it with impatience. In Italy, Befana is an old woman who sneaks into the house through the fireplace to deliver sweets and toys. But sometimes she will punish any boys and girls who have been naughty by leaving coal nuggets in their socks and stockings hanging by the fireplace. No presents, no candy, but coal. At a closer look, if you're lucky, you'll see that it's not real coal, but sweet coal made of sugar. And so, it turns out you were not all that bad.
Have you ever seen this lady?
No.
A witch? I know who the Befana is. She puts lollies in your stockings if you're good and coal in your stocking if you're bad. I prefer Santa Claus because he brings, like, real presents rather than just little sweets.
And to explore the tradition of sugar coal and la Befana, we're joined today by author and cook Daniele Fotticuzzola. Hi, Daniele.
Ciao, thank you for having me.
And Raffaella D'Alonso, owner of La Mortazza Cafe and Deli in Perth. Hi, Raffaella.
Ciao.
So the first question I need to ask you, Daniele and Raffaella, is did you get much coal when you were children?
Lots and lots, of course. I was always naughty.
See, my brother and I would sometimes get a mixture of coal and a gift as well. So a bit of a 50-50.
What were your emotions when you saw the sugar coal in the stockings?
Growing up here in Australia, it was more actual coal, which my brother and I weren't too angry about because being summer barbecue season, so you know, that was a big summer tradition. So that was fine, but as long as it was a present as well. I didn't have the sweet coal until I was actually in Italy when I was probably around 9.
Which is so tasty.
So you actually had the sugar coal in your stocking, Raffaella?
Oh, yes, definitely. I used to make it with my grandma, of course, and it was so fun. And we used to suck this sugar coal, and it was, really nice and funny.
So you were not only receiving it as a present from La Befana, you were actually helping her by making it.
Definitely, yes. We used to put on some funny aprons, making it, and then put it in these stockings, and then we knew we would have found it near our fireplace, yeah.
And now I'd like to ask you if you actually ate it. Raffaella, it sounds to me that you really like it. And what do you think of the flavor, Daniele?
Yeah, it was so much sugary that we used to be so high the whole day, you know. It's basically all sugar with just a bit of a color into it. So by sucking it, it used to make your teeth black and even your tongue black. So we used to go around the whole night dancing with our parents and sticking out our tongue. It was black and Yeah, funny for the kids.
And I guess for me, not growing up with it, the first time I had it was that, you know, that strange sensory thing where you expect, you're not, you've seen something that looks like something else and then the flavor is something totally different. So again, you know, you're seeing coal and then it's literally just sugar. So overly sweet. And as Rafaela was saying, even like the black coloring and kind of like pretending you've got gaps in your teeth, a bit like La Bafana herself, yeah. That was always a lot of fun.
Let's be clear about this. Befana is not a witch, just a lovely old lady who happens to fly on her broom once a year. But how did it all start? When did she decide she had to bring presents to all Italian kids once a year? Before telling you that story, let's debunk another myth about Befana. The call she's bringing doesn't necessarily mean we've been naughty and we should therefore be punished. During the Roman Empire, the year started on this day, the 6th of January. The Romans would burn oak wood to create coal that would ensure the new year ahead was a lucky one. So it's fitting that this very Italian tradition has some of its roots in ancient Rome. La Befana comes from both worlds, pagan and Christian. You may have noticed the similarity between her name and Epiphany. Befana, Epiphany. Epiphany means revelation, appearance, but in Italy, and not only, it refers to the appearance of baby Jesus before the three kings. Befana was in fact invited to join them when the three kings stopped by her house to ask for directions. The very conscientious lady didn't consider it a good idea to leave all that housework behind. Too much cleaning to do. She never left that broom of hers. The three kings then set on their journey, and Befana felt immediately so sorry. She knew she had missed a great opportunity. So, she left the house in a rush and tried to catch up with them, bringing a basket of presents for baby Jesus. Unfortunately, she couldn't find the way, so she decided to donate all the sweets she had in her basket to the children living in the houses on her way back home. And from then, she repeats the journey every year on the night between the 5th and the 6th of January. Daniele, you say you were born and raised here in Australia. How strong was the Befana tradition in your family?
Not super, super strong early on. It was probably more once I'd started school. We learned a lot about the Befana. We go to Italian school on Saturday mornings as well. So we learned a lot about the Befana. And that was probably one thing I was really excited about when I've had my first Christmas in Italy. And yeah, and just seeing the festivities. And I guess also as a child, you're like, oh, wow, Italian kids get presents twice a year. There's Babbo Natale and there's the Befana. Yeah, you know, I guess the whole Christmas period is very special, over there, you know, with things like the Novena and the lead up to Christmas and Christmas Eve being a much bigger celebration. And then again, celebrating more the Feast of the Epiphany, which isn't something that's specifically done here. And then after that trip to Italy, that was definitely something my family recreated year after year. So Befana, I like to think she found me after I'd been in Italy, and then she made sure to keep coming to find me in Perth and made sure she'd bring some presents.
And in your house, Rafaela, how was the Befana day? Was it a day that the kids would love and wait and expect?
It was just like Christmas Day. So basically, I feel like I was so lucky to have two Christmas instead of just one. For us, Christmas wasn't the last day of festivity. We also had La Befana, as we said. So, oh wow, we were so happy. And spending the day with our parents and friends and going out dancing and dressing up as witches, so nice.
This is a common tradition. Many kids in Italy love La Befana, but not so many actually make the call in the family. How did that start for you?
It's true. It was very easy to go to the shop and buy the call pre-made, of course. But because we had my grandma at home, she loved cooking and she used to make sure on the 2nd on or the 3rd of January, we catch up and make charcoal together. So she had her own recipe. It was fun. You know, we were in a school. We had time to stay together.
And what was your role in it?
I just helped her. You know, it was a bit hard to make it because you have to stir the pot and the mixture will grow like a honeycomb. So she used to do the hard part.
We will present the recipe in a minute, and we also say that there are some dangerous parts in the recipe. So I was curious, as a child, what you were actually allowed to do.
Just helping, you know. I just used to put some black color in the pot and choose to do the rest. Italy kids love helping their grandmas.
Australian kids have Santa. In Italy, they have Babbo Natale, but it doesn't stop there. After just a few days comes La Befana, and she's just as popular. There are so many poems and songs dedicated to her and to the joy she brings every 6th of January. Many of them start with these words, La Befana vien di notte, Befana comes at night. And it's true. She works all night so children can get their new toys when they wake up in the morning. Lorenzo Tozzi is an author of children books and songs, and he loves Befana so much that he dedicated a song to her. Guess the title. Gira il mondo, poveretta, e poi va sempre di fretta, la Befana vien di notte. Lorenzo, sorry, I have to interrupt you.
Ciao Massimiliano.
Ciao, but who's Befana? Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about a kind old lady who brings children toys on 6th of January, on the Epiphany.
She's a kind lady, but she also punishes you sometimes.
Yeah, the child is worried, think of the trouble he's made, and so he's worried about what is going to bring the Befana, this old lady. But the Befana is a very nice lady. It's such a grandmother for all of the kids. I'm very close to her. When I was little, I always have lots of presents and gifts from her because I was a good boy. No, I'm joking.
And did you get cold sometimes?
Yeah, actually, I did.
We all did.
Yeah. La Befana viene di notte con le scarpe tutte rotte, viene e dona solamente, senza mai chiedere niente, solo un bacio ed un sorriso, poi scompare all'improvviso. La Befana viene di notte, la Befana viene di notte, la Befana viene di notte.
Ciao, I'm Daniele Fuoricuzzola.
Ciao, I'm Raffaella D'Alonso.
And we are chatting about La Befana, the traditions,
and how to make our fantastic charcoal.
Daniele, you fell in love so much with this tradition that you also wrote a book about La Befana. What was special about this? So we said, you know, the fact that kids get presents twice, which is good already, but anything else?
I used to work as a primary school Italian teacher. And so I think my experience growing up here of Italian background, going to school and studying Italian, I remember all my friends loved the Befana. It was a thing that really resonated with them. And I think they were very jealous about, like, oh, you get these two Christmases. And every year when it would come to term four, you know, everyone would ask the teacher, you know, like, are we going to read the story about La Befana this Christmas? Are we? So there was always that aspect. Then as a teacher, again, something that the kids really were interested in and something that they really retained and remembered growing up. So I felt there was something special there. When, as also working as an Italian teacher, I found there was very few books about an Italian-Australian experience. A lot of our resources are very much either set in Italy or they're fairy tales that have been translated. So I wanted something, the book, it's bilingual, so in Italian and English, so not necessarily for people learning Italian, but I wanted people to read it and learn something about Italian culture that I had special memories with, and even in myself, like the main character Antonio, after I experienced it over there, I wanted to recreate that celebration here. So it's not so much about grabbing something from Italy and plonking it into Australia. It's creating something that's Italian and also celebrating it in a uniquely Italian-Australian way. And in Australia, you know, lots of migrants learned to recreate things because they didn't have all the pasticcerias or the panificios to do that. So in the same way, there's the col, there's the Befanini and other beautiful traditions, but in an Italian-Australian way.
This recipe, when you look at it and also when you see the final product, Raffaella, it may seem a bit difficult, a bit complicated. Is it really so?
No, not really. As long as you have all of your ingredients ready and you do the right things, it's not complicated at all.
And the good thing about, I guess, a lot of Italian cooking and sweets was it's rustic. We're not particularly fancy. So anything like frutti ma buoni or the ossa di morte, like, you know, none of them are really appealing to the eye when you think about it.
But they are tasty.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit of what we talk about in this podcast, about ugly food, but food that people actually love. Okay, Raffaella, so let's try this. Would you like to walk us through the recipe?
Of course. The ingredients are just few. We need just 500 grams of caster sugar and 100 grams of icing sugar, 100 grams of water, black food coloring, and one white of the eggs. We put 300 grams of caster sugar in a pan with water. So we cover the sugar, we turn on the stove, and we make sure the sugar and water becomes nice and caramelized, so dark color. While this becomes dark, we must not touch it. Otherwise, we need to start again. So we let it simmer on its own. We need to beat the egg white with the 200 grams of sugar, and we put the black color in the egg whites. As soon as we think, let's say 10 minutes after the sugar and the water becomes like a caramel, we need to put the flame down so it doesn't need to be that hot anymore. And we need to stir the white of the egg with the coloring inside the pot. And we can see straight away the mixture becomes to rise like a honeycomb, and we know it's perfectly done. So we pour this in a nice cooking pan and we let it rest. Once it's cold, we chop it up in pieces and the charcoal it's done. Doesn't have to be perfect.
Again, back to being rustic. We love it. We love rustic in an Italian kitchen.
How important is it for you both to keep traditions alive? I think it's two different perspectives, right? For you, Daniele, is a question of heritage, and for you, maybe Raffaella, is more of a question of preserving your identity. But that's my idea. What do you think?
I never seen the tradition so strong until I came here. Once I read Daniele's book, I cried because it's true. We lose identity by not experiencing this yearly. And especially now that I have my own kids, I read the book with them. They see me crying and they said, "What's going on, Mom?" And I said, "You know, it's all I ever done until now. And I never realized it was something that keeps family together, family and friends." So definitely from now on, I do not want to lose the yearly tradition. And hopefully we can grow this with the kids in Perth.
From my perspective, again, it's obviously different. I think, I don't know, when you come from an amalgamation of two cultures, like an Italian Australian, it's a bit, you know, like that theory of like the third space. You feel like you don't quite fit into either or whatever. While there's so many beautiful things that celebrate things that are specifically Italian or specifically Australian, it was just nice to have something that showed our unique way of doing things. And I lost my nonna last year, but I think I'm seeing that age group of people kind of go, you see traditions kind of fall. But again, like say, for example, going to Italy, I wouldn't necessarily have that same feeling of my tradition exactly the same, because my tradition is actually Italian Australian. Do you know what I mean? So it's an interesting... Yeah, I think something to preserve what makes us unique. We talk a lot about this third space not necessarily fitting, but I think there's also something beautiful that we've got something. Instead of looking at somewhat missing out, I want to try and look at it as like a beautiful celebration of two things together.
And Raffaella, you were saying that you'll try to keep the tradition alive. What will you do? Will you make the cold nuggets with your kids?
Definitely. I have a beautiful cafe called La Mortazza is Italian. And I must do something. So on the 6th of January, for sure, I will be having everything ready for all of our small people that come and get a baby Chino. So on that day, I will have also Daniele's book, and I make sure they can see what it's all about. I make them taste the charcoal, and believe me, Max, next year, they can't wait to have more and more.
So everybody will get free charcoal when they come and see you.
100%. But make it with my kids, for sure. And then I make more just for the customers. Unfortunately, Daniele won't be with me that day.
Yeah.
Why not?
I'll be in Italy, so I'm going to actually re-experience La Befana in Italy. So it's a generous research trip. So then next year I can come back with some more ideas and say, you know, I feel like we can do this next year.
So that's the only reason why you're going, just to know more about La Befana.
The final La Befana. You know, Antonio learns he's got to be active in recreating his own tradition. So even hearing Raffaella's story, if she wants her children to continue with it, she wants to continue and relive those memories with her nonno, her family or her traditions, it's up to ourselves and doing something. Be more at home at a shared celebration, but instead she's doing it at her cafe and sharing it with people that are of Italian background, aren't of Italian background. And I think that's what I want to do with the story. And it's really special to see people like Raffaella do that as well.
My nonna reminds me of La Befana.
In what way? The look?
My nonna used to have this apron just below her chest, like La Befana, in checks and dark colors. When she used to go out and do grocery shopping, she used to put this...
like a little shawl, like a shalla kind of thing.
Yeah, a shawl on her head. And then La Befana always had the broom. My nonna used to have the broom all the time. So La Befana just reminds me of my nonna.
Do you think these cola nuggets is something you could make on a different, more ordinary day, or is it something very specific and linked to the 6th of January?
It is associated with the 6th of January, but I mean, a Halloween, it could kind of be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, kids are never going to say no to sugar. So.
For sure.
But, yeah.
Maybe in different colors.
Yeah.
But when we talked about it, you both acknowledged that this is not the best dessert, is it? Or can it also be transformed into a dessert, or is it not a good option and tiramisu is always better?
I think if we try and combine pavlova with few charcoal on the top, it would be very good.
There you go. See, a new Italian-Australian tradition. Yeah. That's what we love. Pavlova, the coconut, put it together. I love it.
We just made a new tradition, Befana pavlova.
Why not? You heard it here first.
So thank you so much to Daniele Fotticuzzola and Raffaella D'Alonso for being with us today and making us relive this beautiful Italian tradition, La Befana. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Buona festa.
The second series of Scarafoni in Cucina, The Ugly Ducklings of Italian Cuisine, is about to begin. Six new dishes. Ugly, perhaps, but beloved in the cities, regions, homes where they are prepared. We will start our journey from Puglia, at the very bottom of the Italian peninsula. From its wonderful sea comes a thorny delicacy that is eaten on the beach, raw, in fact, alive, sometimes still moving. This episode was hosted and produced by me, Massimiliano Gugole, with support from the executive producer of SBS Italian, Magica Fossati, as well as Max Gosford, Joel Supple and Caroline Gates. A big thank you to the SBS Food team for their support as well. For more SBS Italian content, go to sbs.com.au/Italian, or to find more SBS podcasts in English, go to sbs.com.au/audio.